Calling this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission to order for Wednesday, July 20th in the year 2022 to order. Please set your cell phones to stun, please, and let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, nice to see you. We call roll, please.
Here.
Tom Gazdecki.
Here.
Anthony Brodnick.
Present.
Jay Castellanos.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Robert Olchi.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Present. We have a quorum. Next up is the approval of minutes for both June 15, 2022, the regular meeting, and July 7, the special meeting in 2022. I'm sure you all read it, went through the process. Can we do them combined, Mr. Weckland? Can we approve two sets of minutes with one motion, or do we have to do them separately? So we'll do just June 15th, 2022. Is there a motion? Did you read them?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we go ahead and approve the June 15th, 2022 minutes as submitted.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Either none. Are we still on roll call, Mr. Wicklund?
Yes.
Yes.
Tom Wyszynski?
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick?
Abstain.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Olchi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Next up is the approval of the minutes from the special meeting on July 7th, 2022. Is there a motion, modifications? What say you?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve the minutes from Thursday, July 7th, 2022, as presented.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And we have a second. Any discussion? Either none. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Abstain.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Olchi.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Moving right along, chairman's report, that would be me. I'm humbled that I'm chairman of this group and have been since 2010, and also very proud of the things that have been accomplished since the events of September 2008. As you can see, what happens when you have a man-made flood control system that's not maintained and taken into consideration as a community-wide project, you see what happens. I hope that as I draw breath, we never ever see something like that again. It was absolutely atrocious. We are far better prepared today than we were prior to the events of September 2008. The communities have been very strong within the watershed, working together to make sure that we do the things necessary to not only take care of the issues that come up, but also to maintain the work and the amount of engineering that went into the whole system, which is the entire watershed. As we continue to move forward, these things are going to continue to need to be improved. They're going to continue to need to be maintained. And if we don't work together, you're going to have a situation like 2008 happen again. Hopefully, we're not around to see something like that. This is truly, in my opinion, an economic development project. As we had completed this, we removed close to how many parcels, Dan? I love this part.
I know it's $4 million worth of payments for your flood insurance. I don't remember the exact number of parcels.
Thousands of parcels to not have to pay mandatory flood insurance as a part of their federally guaranteed mortgage plan. That's $4 million every year that goes back into our community that the homeowners and property owners are able to handle. I don't know. Just call me simple, but that's economic development as far as I'm concerned. That's enough. Next up is the finance report, and let's pay some bills.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to approve the claims for July 2022 with a deduction of $500,000 for the revised total of $1,264,947.58.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay.
Just for the record, I would just, so everyone knows, where is the deduction coming from, just so that the
deduction
is clear?
So, Mr. Olchi, help with the deduction on the claim sheet, please.
So the deduction comes into Kettyman Avenue Pedestrian Bridge at the City of Hanover. And our original commitment of $1 million. They requested $1 million for this pay application. We were asking that we go back to the original salt equal payments, and we're looking at $500,000 for this first payment and $500,000 for the next payment.
Thank you. Mr. Repay?
That's just for so that we understand and we have it on record.
I second it.
My turn. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm just going to go through the claims and we'll discuss if you have any questions on any of them. We'll start with the land and engineering O&M. Wessler, who is here tonight, $22,300 for their Beaver Dam Ditch Watershed Study. You'll be able to see and hear more about that later. HWC for the oversight of Spring Park. Gary of Construction, $101,792.50 for Spring Park. CH Mowing for our second mowing, our third mowing, just for everyone's edification, is scheduled for the first week in August, so not next week, the following week. That's $27,500. We've got a couple $12,000, we actually have two $12,000 invoices from Active. They're the ones clearing out the pipes and the culverts so that we can videotape them, or actually Grimmer can videotape them. The NIPSCO bill, which was brought to the attention of me by a couple people, and we had some discussion, but just so that everyone knows, the Bird North Station went offline. It reset the PLC, which made it run on a much lower height than what it's accustomed to. When we went there for inspections, we noticed that we've reset it, we've checked it in the meantime, and that should not be that high in the future. So that's why it jumped a little bit for the electrical usage at $6,950.88. The town of Dyer for their watershed project, a two-stage ditch that's located on both the east and west side of Sheffield. Tentatively, we're scheduled to go out to Dyer in the September meeting. That should be completed that time, and we'll take it on the road a little bit as well. We've talked about the city of Hammond. There was the motion to reduce. I'll just take the middle one, which was 714. I'll make it 214, 558.09 for easy math for me. And then we have two reimbursements, one for the Hammond Sanitary District and one for the town of Highland Hole for agreed to. Basically, that tells us those agreements are if you pass the inspection report, which they did, we reimburse you for that amount per station. So that's a annual payment back to them. We've passed all of our inspections, and I have a meeting with regard to the Gary pumps or the Gary inspections on Tuesday of next week. So hopefully they will all pass, which I think they have. They'd have told me otherwise. And so once again, in 2022, all of the inspections will be at least minimally acceptable in all segments of the river. If you have questions about anything.
Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Any commissioners, you have any questions for Mr. Repay about the bills?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Where, Dan, the first response billing for the two bills states that this was weekend rates. The rates are identical on each bill. There's two separate bills here. But the days in question were a Friday, Saturday, Sunday on one bill, and another bill was Friday, Saturday. Would there be some difference in these rates?
And was great question.
And what was the emergency need on the weekend to take action?
I don't know of any emergency that took place. I know the area that they were doing was between Calhoun, between on the north side of the river, between where we're doing the seepage analysis. They went from Calhoun to Colfax. They cleaned out that entire area. I can tell you the first bill was a lot more difficult because it had not been done before, but the second one was just the second one. I don't know why Friday, Saturday, or the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's a great question. I don't have an answer for that.
I guess I would, if they could give you an explanation and maybe some paperwork to show the difference between the Friday rate they call it all weekend.
And they may have sent us a rate chart at our office, but I don't have that with me. I couldn't speak.
And maybe they did, but the billing is consistently for each individual they bill for is $78.
Based on just normal rates.
Yeah, they don't break out like other contractors do with overtime, premium time, that kind of
stuff. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what.
But we're getting charged properly.
Yeah, I don't know the emergency or the weekend. I know they were working, doing our pump stations for the inspections on one of those weeks, but I'm at a loss. I don't have an answer. But I mean, I can look to see and get an explanation from them, and then I can send it to you. And if it's satisfactory, then that would be fine.
Anyone else, Mr. Whitaker? Any other questions, comments? I'm sorry, Dan, you said this, but the pump station, those are annual payments?
Correct.
Is that both for Hammond Sanitary and the Town of Highland?
Correct. Because we take care of the Gary stations of our system. The only two others that take care of it is Hammond, which takes care of both the Munster stations and the Hammond station, because they're a part of the Hammond Sanitary District. And then Highland takes care of their own. There are no Griffith stations in our system. And as you recall, we paid Griffith $50,000 for the Katie Marsh ditch upkeep. That's about the closest that we got to an agreement with municipalities. Every other municipality, that would be just what we pay everyone.
And then the other question I have is on the liability insurance.
Correct.
I thought the pump station, we have the separate for the pump stations and then and another policy for the rest of the system.
Correct.
I.e. the bike pass and falling off the wall.
Correct. And that's a good question. We, Glaros, Myers & Glaros has been the cheapest for the pump stations.
Most economical.
There's only certain companies that will insure pump stations, and so it's just about what the upcharge is for.
So tell me again, because I'm new to this board, is that we have the pump stations, we have the system as a whole, and then we have another policy on all of us.
Correct.
So just the three.
Correct. And it's three different insurers.
Correct.
So you have a board insurance, and probably I think it's on us as well as employees, and also our office and everything that's involved in the office. Then you have the levy, so for catastrophic failure. But in the case of catastrophic failure and the Army Corps declares it, or the President of the United States declares a national disaster, the United States government takes over anyways, and that's why the importance of us keeping it at a minimal standard is important, so that they can reimburse us to the cost, which if you remember, those of you are on the leaky wall. So the leaky wall happened, that was a problem. There was a disaster declared and they paid 100%. And then there's the policy of, you know, people riding their bike up there, slipping, falling, or, you know, if I'm up there, I guess, and I slip and fall, there's a policy for that. And then the pump stations are just failures based on not terrorism or natural disasters.
And then Richardson Disposal, there's repair at River and Klein.
Correct. So there, during the inspections of Hammond, there was a sinkhole that was developed behind the old Burger King area, the best, okay. And there's an adult place over there as well, that an old line had collapsed servicing an old business. So it developed a sinkhole and we had to fill it. Otherwise, we would have failed the inspection. So we filled it, put topsoil on it, put the sod on it.
Whose old line was that? Was that a Hammond Sanitary line servicing that particular parcel that's been closed for a gajillion years?
We believe it was a storm sewer line that was collapsed.
All right. So was that a temporary repair or a permanent repair?
It was, we hope it was permanent. But as we discussed with the Corps today, that we would monitor it just to see if we have to take other measures like excavate the whole thing out.
Okay.
It's within 15 feet of levee, and that's why we have to deal with it.
I understand. And then if you could help me as you go through your monthly report on, you know, the draws, as you talk about the projects that are coinciding here, because I don't want to talk about those without having some more insight as far as what's happening with the project.
All
right. Any other questions for Mr. Repay on the bills? Either or not, we have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Thomas Lindsay.
Yes.
Tom Vazquez.
Abstain.
Anthony Brunnick.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. All right, moving right along, paying the bills, Mr. Repay, let's talk about Project Tracker, your director's report, your what's going on in the field update. Hit you up.
So they're going to coincide like you've asked. The culvert clearing video is between Grimmer is doing the videoing. They've subcontracted that work out. But we're cleaning the culverts to make sure that you can see it, the mud, the muck.
Is this everywhere?
Everywhere in Hammond, Munster, and Highland, which is due every 5 years. We're due this year for it. We've already done Gary last year, so we're good there. So we've got to do it, which this coincides with the bill that you see from Acton, as well as Garcia, and I don't think Grimmer has a bill this time. So they didn't bill us, but that's coincides to it together. The Hart Ditch bank stabilization, the phase
two. I have a question on that. How many culverts are are included in Hammond, Highland, and Munster? Are these culverts pertaining to the 40 expressway, some. Or is this
40 some? Any penetration 40. That goes 40 some ish that goes through the levee. So if you pick a place, let's just pick a place you like to go bike riding in Wicker Park. There's the pier that jumps off where you have to do it. We've got to do it there.
Drop the sandbag
right.
into the
really. Right. And then to the east or to the west, there's a gate. Anywhere with a gate, right. We have to do that. As you go further down along, let's see, that's 4 or 3 green by Wicker Park. There's that little station, that little weir. We've got 2 outfalls that we've got to do. That's a lot of sediment.
Is it the structure? Is it also all the phragmites that are growing into where the water is supposed to be flowing?
We're trying to
never flows.
We try to clear the entire head wall. However, it's difficult in some areas because some head walls are, anytime the water rises a touch, the silt and sediment fill it in. So we try to do our best to clear the entire head wall. Some are easier in.
So when the head walls get with so much silt to the point where it's not easy to do anymore, does that turn into a new project? And what's the timing, do we think, in that scenario?
No, it just turns into the fact that we have to act and has to take more time to clean that area. So, you know, just to give you, for instance, we were getting complaints from people that were walking the Wicker Park Trail because when they bring the Vactor truck there, you know, they're sucking up all the stuff. And they were there for a good part of a day and a half, trying to get these two things clean and the head walls, and people were complaining. It was loud, but it's what you have to do. Some are easier, some are less mucked up, but in any case, we have to do it. Otherwise, the camera doesn't work, and then the camera was going to come in to play at a later update here. Oh, I believe it's near the pedestrian bridge where we found, I'll just skip to that, where we found a problem leading from a storm drain in the street that leads to our outfall. There's a crack in the pipe.
That's the 8-inch line.
8-inch line, correct. So
that's ours because it's within the 15 feet?
It's unclear, but it feeds our things. So as opposed to just ignoring it and letting it go, if you fix it, it's 8 inches at 65 feet, we should just fix it and it'd be done. Now, should have fixed it when they were there in stage 8? I don't know if the plans asked for them to do it or if they just stopped and terminated at a certain point and attached to a bad line.
All right, so help me out. If we're doing a new project, this hasn't started yet.
No.
So it just has that separate. So we have some idea of the cost associated with that.
Right.
Are you replacing it or you're going to want it?
We don't know yet, I'm assuming.
I will tell you there's a large hole in it. I don't think a line would work. I think I asked you if you want me to play the video. I probably could if I found it, but I'll send it to you. You could see the soil coming
now.
Above.
Are we just doing this like every 5 years?
Culvert cleaning, yes.
Should we think about doing it more
frequently? We could by the core standards, we're required to do it every 5 years. We normally don't run it. I'll just tell you, we normally don't run into this situation. This is the only one that I can recall from the initial reports that there are horizontal cracks. It seems like they just terminated at a point and then just let the rest of the thing go. But when we are inspecting it, it's sort of just hard to just turn your back because it won't work. Like it will end up with all that stuff in there, then I'll get a sinkhole, and then we're going to end up with
issues
further. So every 5 years is what we're required to do. You know, we do the big ones, the four underneath the expressway. Those are, of course, a large operation. But for the most part, we haven't run into any problems with any of the pipes since we've done this. This is, I think, probably one of the first ones we've had, like, really seen. And you could see it in the video. It's pretty clear.
Right. Okay, moving along.
Okay. You guys have already agreed that the hard ditch bank stabilization phase two, which we started at Twin Creek Boulevard and start working to the north.
This is in Munster.
In Munster, between Park West and
Twin Creek hard ditches.
Sorry. The second component, which you guys have approved, was to do from where we terminated last year to 1,000 feet going to the north, which would put you at White Oak Park in Munster, which is by the Chase. I don't know what else I can give you.
Landmarks,
almost to the railroad tracks. So the next thought is, since the price is there and we have some available funds, that if you want to continue on the remaining 700 feet to get to the railroad tracks. And the reason why that's important is because Lake County Highway is doing 45th Avenue, I believe it's next year. And a part of that is going to take in the railroad to 45th, to where we did the big gabion baskets, where the condos are on the north side of 45th. Should I put it up on the map, or do you follow me?
I know where you are.
Okay. Well, so that's the next question.
Just make sure that we're not doing it twice. So don't do a repair for the county to come and do the bridge work and tear out all the stuff we just did.
Well, that's why we terminated. Right. Because we didn't want to get near the railroad track.
Right.
Because once you get past the rail, as you all know, once you get to the railroads are a whole new person to deal with.
So the concern then, just is to, and I know you will, but to pay attention to where we stop and where the county shows up to do their bridge work, so there's no gap. Does that make sense?
Correct. But that's the plan. We've already talked to Dwayne Alverson, who is the Lake County Highway Director. So he knows that we're aware of it.
Thank you.
Deep River Clean began. That's the project that we are slowly making our way to the north. We started roughly at Lake George and the railroad tracks at where we opened up the clogged or the culverts there. And we've worked our way to 51st Street. We've had good access by residents that are allowing us the access to get in there. So if you know where 51st Street is, it sort of winds its way around to Veterans Park, past an adult entertainment place as well. And so we have good access in all these areas. We have cooperation from Lake Station, Hobart, and Lake County, all that is going to take the debris in theory and dispose of it, which should reduce our costs.
So are we flagging it with those two municipalities as far as easements for future access in case those properties should transfer and we don't have the same cooperation?
We actually, believe it or not, we own property over there.
I own property everywhere. I'm just talking about what you need access to get to those junction points.
We have 3 points. We do not have agreements, but we do have 3 points.
This hasn't been cleaned in a while, I would assume.
According to some neighbors, it's been over 30 years. So the thought is Veterans Park, Lake Station, and Mayor Carroll has been great with us, allowed us access in there. That's the downside. That will be where we load all the material and get rid of it. And then they'll work their way all the way up to 51st. It's about 3,700 feet of river. So, and we still got to go and we got to get ourselves past Ridge Road, but we're going to see how it goes. And since the water is low right now, thankfully, we can easily get it. And so the goal ultimately is to get past the railroad tracks towards the dam in Lake Station. That's ultimately the goal, so that we have some free passage of water. The Calhoun seepage study, DLZ was hired. They notified me earlier this week that they were going to extend the monitoring at their cost, because of the fact that there has been no large rain events, difficult to monitor, so that they're just going to keep the wells in there and keep monitoring things in the hopes that there's some events that maybe will test the monitors. But right now it's too low. My words, not theirs, but they can't really get a good handle on things at this point. So they're going to keep going with it. Northtop Bridge, all documents were signed with Garia. They're going to start it in August. That bridge, Mr. Chairman, will be closed for about 5 weeks. So that's what we got, and that's what we're going to go with. The bridge parts, as you know, we purchased ourselves. They're being stored in the town of Munster's Garage. They will be able to get it from that location.
Is that a town project or a little Cal
project? That's a little Cal project.
All right. So has the notification to everybody that bridge is going to be closed at some point in the next couple of weeks? What's the process? Is there going to be one of those blinky signs? Are you going to be standing up there with protesting?
No. I will tell you that the assistant town manager for Munster has been on all the communications as far as the schedule. She's aware of it, but when we get a specific date as far as saying it's going to be August 8th or whatever day it is, we will make sure we get something out through the town of Munster and Hammond to let them know that will be taking place.
And please ask the contractor, who's the contractor?
It's Garia.
Garia, to come up with some ideas to help us with, letting the public know that thing's going to be closed and the dates. Please.
Will do. Stage 7 sealant project, we got approval for the actual sealant. They submitted one that was approved, and then they had trouble getting that sealant in a form that they could spread it or install it. So they asked for another sealant that was approved just, I believe, last week. And we have a highly qualified project manager on this one that will be watching and measuring the amounts of the sealant. He's going to require them to do a sort of a mock version of it to see how it's going to work. And he will keep keen eye on it. And I trust that he will.
So this was, this stage 7, this was one of the last stages that was completed after that.
Correct. It was, I believe, completed 13 or 14.
So, and we're already having to reseal. What about the rest of it? I mean, I know we're inspecting it, but what's the life cycle of this particular material? Is that can't be
7 years.
7 years, really? And this is that out of Minnesota, this is the Minnesota GC. I told you this was going to happen.
It's Ceres, C-E-R-E-S. It's two men in a truck. But anyways, so the reason why the sealant is most important on this segment is that the way that the core design of this project is the decorative wall that you see, the top of that wall is actually the level of protection that it needs to be. There is no oops factor. That's what it needs to be. Whereas if you go to stage 8 or stage 5.2 or any other stage anywhere else, those caps and crowns that we need to seal are not a part of the level of protection. Remember, there's a sheet pile underneath it. So for us to seal it means we have to seal it because it needs to work. So that's why we have to, that's why it's most important. That's why the Corps flagged it initially, and that's why we have to complete it.
Big fan of it working.
I will second that. where did I go? Oh, the Griffith Levee, you guys are going to discuss later, but the goal behind the Griffith Levee, there's two conflicting federal agencies, as I understand it. One, the Army Corps, which doesn't require the levee to be a part of our project. But the initial thought from FEMA is that they are going to require it for the Gary Lomar, which is the letter of map revision, which will allow Gary and parts of Griffith out of the flood insurance. That hasn't been decided, but that's the conflict.
And for everybody listening, this is right south of the old Griffith Golf Colonial and on Klein Avenue.
Correct.
So from Klein Avenue going at the light going
to the east to the railroad tracks, and that's where this will terminate. So you will have a motion to later on this meeting to bid it out, and the due date for those will be in our October meeting, which we all thought would be a good idea because it allows the contractors some time to do it, to not to try to fit it in. And then the completion for this project won't be until November 1 of 2023, which will also allow contractors not to try to squeeze this in, which will help build their jobs for the next year. What we've heard from the contractors are you can't do anything now. The lead time for some of this equipment is way into next year. And so to try to squeeze it in now, it's really practically impossible. So this is what we're trying to do with that project. What our decision is, how much funding, that's your decision. Katie Marsh Trash Rack, this is a project where, well, this, I may be, this could be the longest endeavor.
No.
The way I'm talking. The trash rack was a part of a separate federal flood control project on Katie Marsh. Although it impacts us, it diverts water off the Katie Marsh ditch as opposed to going into Hart Ditch. It diverts it into a deep 9-foot tunnel. It shoots it out down Harbor Gas, where the Manser 3 used to be, if you're, or Match Point, or wherever that's called. So this trash rack never worked. When I first started in 2010, there were human beings with large rakes during electrical storms trying to rake out garbage that has accumulated, which is not a good recipe for anything. So Griffith, through our help with paying for the engineering, designed something that they believe will work. It's been guaranteed it will work by the engineers, of course. And this will be automated where they will, it's a constant, like the sanitary district, it will constantly rake the material off the rack, which consists of anything from grass clippings to bottles to tires to floatable, you know, whatever. I mean, there's everything.
Because the drainage, what I learned is this particular drain takes water from everything west all the way to Hart Ditch-ish and east. In Black Oak, all the way
somewhat Merrillville,
and the Merrillville. So,
and I know you want to study that, and I think we should study Katie Marsh Ditch fully to see and understand more of what's happening.
Well, because now that I learned that this is coming also from unincorporated Lake County, they should have some skin in the game as far as cleaning up this mess too, as opposed to us having to clean up all the trash at this rack.
Yeah, it's an open ditch, so you're getting people there just driving along and throwing whatever they want to throw out, and it ends up sort of like at our Grant East pump station, where trash ends up wherever they want it, wherever it blows to, and it's pretty windy. So moving along, we'll go to Starwood Woods. That was just they opened them today. I believe it was $2.4 million was the award, or was the lowest amount. That was done by Austin. A couple other contractors bid on it, but were much higher. That's still to be had. We've committed, I believe, 2.6 to that, but I know they pulled some things off, so we're gonna have to be pretty careful as to what we're paying for.
Whoa, they're changing the plans?
If they phased it because of money, so that's why I'm telling you that.
So Solomon is now phased. So Mr. Wicklund, can you flag that interlocal for us to talk about?
Sure.
So if they're changing how they're doing the project, so we all run into some challenges. Thank you.
Two-stage ditch, as I talked about, for Dyer, if that's between Sheffield on north, east, and west by the hospital. Hospital put in money, we put in money, the county put in money. And the goal, and I went out there, took pictures, you've seen some of the pictures. The goal is our September meeting to have out there to see the project complete. It, and the place where we're going to be meeting is right adjacent to where they did the two-stage ditch. Moving along. The pedestrian bridge, we talked about it. We talked about the line that is broken. We will separate that. We'll give you a cost estimate. It's not to be, my understanding, it's between $10,000 to $15,000 to fix that 65 feet of pipe, but we'll get you a firmer number. The flood handbook approval, we'll discuss it later. Do you want me to discuss it now?
Sure.
For purposes of FEMA would like us to formally adopt the handbooks. The handbooks, which are located on our website and also here, are.
So why is FEMA telling us what to do now?
Because they would like us to publicly acknowledge that these are the handbooks that we run our emergency response by.
Right. And they're the ones that we need their check mark for the insurance that we talked about at the beginning.
to be something that isn't required by all the homeowners.
Correct. That's more City of Gary would like to check mark. We don't need it, but we're trying to help City of Gary. The city.
I'm talking about the system as a whole, yeah. Nothing in particular, right? So we're big picture
here. I love big picture. Right. So the City of Gary contacted us, and I always love working with you. They've contacted us and want us to approve it. We'll approve it, and we'll amend it to include the two projects that have been completed after we finish these handbooks. I mean, it's going to be constantly changing, and I plan on, we plan on making more changes to some of the closures. So,
there's a motion today just for y'all to have some insight. Is we did a First Street Railroad to eliminate a closure, and it's I guess called Gary, and also Harrison Avenue in Gary. So by doing those two bridges, we removed the requirement that the Army Corps of Engineers had upon us to throw sandbags every time we had a rain event. So those have to be added to these, you know, this bureaucratic system's handbooks.
Hey, Dan, with regard to the handbook, is the state line, Hammond state line, anything required for that?
Not required for it right now.
But we don't close that because it's permanently closed.
Yeah, except for the two stop log areas that we have to deal with. But Hammond has chosen to leave the stop logs in permanently, which they may need to replace because of a little bit of warping. But yeah, that's permanently closed.
But the Corps is not going to request a closure for that?
No.
Procedure? Mm-hmm. Well, what about the Munster tieback?
They haven't required, the Corps hasn't required us to have a tieback. I think long term we should look at it, having a tieback on the state line and tying into the expressway.
Because isn't that part of the agreement?
Like I said, the Corps sort of has been back and forth, and I'm not trying to speak for the Corps, but this is my interpretation of they've wanted it, and then the new person come in and said it's not necessary because this is how it flows, and this is really the elevation. Because if you look at if it was to flood on the other side of the state line, Cal City is the lowest area, unfortunately. So if you live in Cal City, I'm sorry. Lansing is actually higher than Cal City. So it, in theory, should flood north and won't penetrate over the expressway, as is explained to me.
For some reason, I thought it was part of the whole contract or the whole agreement.
Initially, they had it in. Probably when you first started, they had it in as the tieback needed, and we were going to
officially remove them.
Yeah, they aren't requiring it right now because the last segment.
But we're going to try to close this project, and they're going to say, "Oh, by the way, you don't have a closure plan for state line." And by the way,
we have a couple of documents that show that and agreed to that the last component of this project is the in project mitigation. Okay. That is the last part that they are recognizing on their end of the equation as well. But I think looking forward, we need to probably do something there, at least to broaden more, at least maybe build up the parkways, the little parkways that are there, maybe connect them, maybe raise them with flowers, you know, the flower, whatever they had on Madison Avenue in Chicago, whatever, the potting things. You need to do something there because otherwise, if it does go over in Lansing, it's going to be pretty impossible task for Munster to sandbag that entire thing. You could put ladders upon ladders. You would not have enough. So, and then the last thing that I'm going to talk about, we removed the pedestrian bridge. We didn't remove it. Nicky removed the pedestrian bridge that crossed over between Manor and
that's the old Monon Bridge.
Correct. Yeah. So when they removed it. They're going to construct their railroad and they're going to put it back to the east 20 feet. So you're going to be connected again. And then the last thing we
are. Did they give you a timing on that?
I think it's 2024. I think it's going to be down for a year. It was a big crane, wasn't it? He saw it. And then we're doing a scanning project. We have two college kids. Both from Purdue, which is a good thing, doing scanning and organizing our project. And they've gotten through a lot of the DC numbers, which are our acquisitions. A lot of our agendas, I think all of our agendas, all of our minutes that we have on file are up. And then the next thing is we're going to try to organize and how we put it out there to the public or to you. There's a lot of information. Just to give you an idea, there was 12 filing cabinets full of files
there are now three filing cabinets. There was a lot of duplicity going on.
In government, really?
It's amazing.
So, you know,
just to remember that, sorry to interrupt, but you have to remember this project started before computers and stuff like that. There was a lot of stuff.
So the context is because it's been going on for so long and it didn't get the attention it needed until there was trauma in 2008, we're trying to take all of that paperwork and digitize it so there is some record of the entire project for the stewards who come after us.
That's it.
Thank you. Any more questions for Mr. Rica as it relates to what's going on in the field? Sounds like a forum.
Mm-hmm.
All right, be there or none. Moving right along. Next up, Mr. Repay, do an introduction and what we're going to hear about as it pertains to the Beaver Dam Ditch located in the city of Crown Point, which is a big deal because they keep building stuff at Crown Point.
Correct. And the reason why we did this was for that reason, for Sourman Woods and for Silver Creek or Silver Hawk projects that were also brought here. This was an opportunity for us to study and look at the effects that those new projects, new construction will have on the Beaver Dam Ditch, which is the main artery to Deep River ultimately, but it's the main artery that affects St. John and Crown Point. So they were tasked basically I-65 going all the way back to find low-hanging fruit, to find, you know, to do the model, the Heck-Rass model, which is the model of record, so that in the future when Crown Point or St. John comes to us with a project, we'll be able to just plug that project in, hopefully, to this model, and we'll see the effects downstream. So Bill is here. Bill, there's Bill. I see Bill.
Okay, make an introduction, please. And Bill, sir, please state your name and address for the record.
Bill Lieber.
I hope there's visual.
Oh. Thanks. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Bill Lieber, Westler Engineering, 6219. South East Street, Indianapolis. And I will share my screen, and I do have something for you to look at. All right. So yeah, my name is Bill Lieber. I'm the project manager. Also, Mary Atkins and Lori Latham are in your presence. They're in the room. So if you'd like to, if you haven't already talked with them, do you want to speak with them later? They're on hand.
Yeah,
I just wanted to give an update on where we are with the project, what's been complete, and what is yet to come. I'm going to go over
just
a little bit.
Give us some idea of where you are in the region as it pertains to showing us another river with trees next to it.
This is Beaver Dam Ditch, and I believe this would be kind of just west of Crown Point, kind of where it's, you know, a little bit less developed. I don't remember exactly where this is. We've got another picture.
This is for Beaver Dam Ditch is another tributary that St. John, all of the Crown Point, and feeds everything on the west side of I-65 and goes under I-65. All of that water goes under I-65 and eventually makes it to Hoover.
Correct. So Beaver Dam Ditch meets up with Niles Ditch and then it turns into Deep River. So where everything upstream, it's really important because it's kind of the furthest upstream of Little Calumet watershed. So and everything that happens up here has an effect all the way downstream. Those are some of the things that we'll be looking at and talking about in our final report, how, if there are improvements that could be made to, reduce flooding, reduce erosion, improve water quality. And so I'll go into that just a little bit, but lately most recently, we've been doing a field investigation. Coming up, we will have deliverables, a GIS interactive map, and then the model that Dan was talking about, which will be used in order to analyze future projects, both ones that we kind of know are on the horizon And then, you know, as people bring applications or for funding to you. So our field investigations have included structure inspections and then the channel itself, you know, looking, when we're looking at the channel, we're really looking for blockages, erosion, you know, issues with bank stabilization. And actually it's like to say, we really weren't finding many blockages. And I know the county's been out there with some projects and they've been doing some clearing. I think they've been doing a good job. Culverts are clear. You know, there's not a lot of debris around bridge piers, things like that. We did find a few instances of channel erosion, and we'll document those. But generally speaking, you know, things are in pretty good shape. There's good vegetation. But we're also looking for opportunities. You know, where might there be storage available in the floodplain, detention, and then also things that could promote biodiversity and increase water quality. Just a few pictures, things that we're looking at, again, conditions of culverts. A little bit hard to tell here, but what you're seeing is actually the top of a concrete pipe that's going into the ditch. And there is an opening here. The pipe joints that have separated. I believe this was near Main Street, where we crossed Main Street. Bridge. This isn't really an issue as far as you know, the hydraulics of the channel or flooding, anything like that. But you know, as far as any liability or things like that, you know, we've got a utility here that is a broken conduit. So just anything out of the ordinary, trying to take note of. Here is, like I mentioned, some channel erosion, some. Where we might need to do some bank stabilization in the future. This is kind of right next to a fitness center and I think a tattoo parlor. And this, I think this is also near Main Street, Crown Point. So something to keep an eye on, you know, so this doesn't continue to
grow. You're showing me crumbling bridges, cracked roads, and everything's falling apart. So I get it. Okay. You're flagging all this stuff.
We are. Yeah. So something like this, it's not necessarily the road, you know, that could be indicating, you know, the culvert beneath settling or even a sinkhole or something. Some other interesting things. This is near the treatment plant for Crown Point. And this is actually detention adjacent to the Beaver Dam ditch. But you notice it doesn't look like it gets very, very wet. And there's actually storm inlets in the middle of the detention. I don't know if that was the original design or not, but we're going to look at some of these things. And I'll come back to this just in a moment. Here's another detention area, just actually about a quarter mile down the road. Now this one, it does hold some water and things, but this could be an opportunity, and I'll get to that in a moment. The other item that we're doing, all of our findings, kind of our deliverable, you know, like Dan's just talking about getting things digitized. Well, instead of just giving you a paper report, we will have a interactive map that will have all of our results and already on here, and it'll also be able to store photos, things like that. In the future, you know, if Crown Point comes and says, hey, we've got a project here we want funding for, we could add that to the map so everybody knows exactly what we're talking about. But what this is showing, these lines in blue are the waterways. The red are different drainage areas that we're using to build the model. That's the other thing that's good about this map. It's helping us determine the hydraulics. You know, so like these yellow lines are kind of flow paths. So you might have, you know, a drop of rainfall could fall down here, you know, south of 125th Avenue, you know, near Clark Street. And this is kind of the path it would take where, you know, it reaches Beaver Dam Ditch all the way up at, all the way up at, you know, White Hawk Country Club. So it's kind of interesting how these things happen. One more thing I want to show you on here. We have land use. So again, here we are at the golf, the country club. I can turn on land use and you see the coloring where we have the gray is impervious area. The brown is, you know, trees and more vegetated. The darker green would be like your lawns or I guess, you know, the rough for the golf course. And the light green is, you know, fairways and other more, you know, smooth surfaces. And we use this data to calculate runoff coefficients so we can know how much runoff is generated and entering into the ditch. So, you know, in this case, you know, the brown areas generate less runoff. Obviously, the gray are the most, but we can see it's as detailed as, hey, we've got more runoff coming from the fairway, you know, than from, you know, the trees next door. So we'll be updating that. Again, like I said, eventually we'll be able to actually say what flows are in the channel and things like that.
Well, I got a question since you took a break, just on the digitization piece.
Yep.
What's the technology on that? Like, how will we be able to access the information going forward? Is that something we have to come back to Westler for in the future?
We can make that. That's online on Esri ArcGIS Online. And you'll have the choice if we can host it and have it available to you, or if you want to have your own system and keep it keep it forever, you can get your own account, and it's like $200 a year. It's very affordable, and you could use that. Then it could be linked through your web page, and you know you could use it for the public to show them what's going on and things like that.
Thank you.
Yep. We are still working on the model. We're currently doing some error correction and calibration. Again, you know, modifying some of this information to match up with historical flows and depths that we get from the DNR and the Army Corps. So we do have a couple spots that we need to go out and revise some of our physical data with some new survey data. We had been using LIDAR, where basically the entire state of Indiana has a surface that the state is, you know, has digitized, and we've got contours. But in some places, it's just not that accurate. And so to really get that model calibrated, we're going to have to get a couple, get a little bit of survey, revise and calibrate the hydrology to make sure the flows are correct, and include some of the detention effects. That'll be done fairly soon. We're hoping in the next 30 days. And then we'll be ready, the model will be there, ready to use. So as you get project requests, we'll be able to analyze them. And then also we wanna be able to look at some of the opportunities for improvement. As I was mentioning before, we've got a lot of these areas, especially, you know, when you're in Crown Point in the developed area, you know, kind of between Main Street and Broadway. There are a number of these kind of detention areas right next to the channel. And it makes sense in terms of, you know, some of these subdivision, I think down here is maybe from the 90s, you know, there were standards in place, you know, they had to put in detention, and they did so. They followed the standards, but you wonder if So they had detention and hit release it slowly into the channel. But you wonder if sometimes the standards don't take into effect where you are in the watershed or where you are next to your receiving stream. In other words, sometimes for these areas that are right next to the channel, it might have been better to not have detention or to do the detention differently. This is kind of a cross-section of that same area that I had the picture of earlier. And you can see here's Beaver Dam Ditch. And then, you know, you've got kind of a levee, a berm that was put in. Some of it is you know, when the ditch was created, but then also some of it.
Just, you know, you're flagging those for us, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
But then they also, some of this berm was built in order to install this detention. This low spot here is basically the detention for, you know, the development that's off on the side. And we've kind of got that on either side. And, you know, that's fine. There's probably, you know, a pipe that comes through here and, you know, slowly goes into the ditch. But what we're going to analyze is, you know, what would have happened if maybe there was no berm here, right? What if they would have put the berm just over on this side to protect the homes, but they would have instead had a larger floodplain? So then those smaller events, you know, get into the channel right away. But as the channel stage comes up, it would actually have storage.
Oh, hold on a second, Bill. Dan, I mean, we're not looking to do the analysis of those types of scenarios now as a part of the study. I mean, that's going to have to go through the municipality and all of those, you know, different folks to be able to get to it. They should flag it as new development comes in, but shouldn't be spending time to hurry up and get this done so we can put it into the game, waiting for these types of analysis, because those are going to start blurring the line.
But you're going to get... That is the second part, but part of it is to find opportunities like right. This as to get it. Now, Crown Point, I don't foresee in the near future for them to issue us another project. They're pretty content with Sourwood Woods right now. So this isn't slowing it down. It's not like we need it, but it's good to have the opportunity, because I think the next phase of this, and we've talked about this before, is finding detention ponds that were put into the system because you're like, but you get it. They put a big ditch in the ground, but they don't really check to see if they're actually functioning the way
correct. That
they are.
Correct. So if we're IDing them and having them, that's great. And if there's issues like this, hey, it's right next to the ditch, what the heck? But then move on. And then, you know, if they come back, because I'm right. Not so sure it's us or correct. Municipality.
Or Lake County Drainage.
Correct. Thank you. Sorry, Bill.
No, that's good commentary. I appreciate it. It's understood. But we have these areas that basically this is already done. Now with the model, we can take a little bit of time and look at, okay, what's happening now in this configuration and what might it have looked like if they did it differently. And then with that being said, we could make recommendations for the areas that are not yet developed. I'm gonna go back here. Because these blue lines are your floodplain. And where these ponds are basically in this area here where you can see the floodplain is really narrow. And what that means, I mean, on one hand, you say, hey, that's great. You know, floodplain's narrow. These people aren't paying flood insurance. But in terms of the health of the channel and the watershed, it means it's more channelized and we've got the same flow going through a smaller area. So the velocities are higher and you're getting more of that erosive force. And that's why actually the picture that I showed earlier with the erosion.
Right. We don't want to create the hard ditch scenario in 50 years like what they did to us.
So, you know, when we've got these areas here, you know, near, you know, St. John and that, and then they come and say, hey, we want to build something. There might be opportunity to say, okay, well, hey, maybe let's give a variance or say, let's not do detention the way we always do it. Instead, let's think about the watershed and have a bigger buffer. And let's not, allow all this development that's right on the ditch. You know, there's supposed to be a 75-foot easement, right? Let's make sure that they preserve that easement or maybe more. Say, hey, you can have two more lots, you know, and not build a pond, but we need a much bigger buffer when you get to the ditch.
So, Bill, to the chairman's point, is that going to be kind of the deliverables? Is like, I mean, those are some great points right there at the end about, you know, ideas, like especially the last picture, you know, let's not channelize the watershed because that one area is skinnier than the rest, or just like some principles for us to think about going forward, or some options for some of these specific areas. Is that really kind of what the deliverables are? I've forgotten since we started the project. I apologize.
It is that, and then it is the model itself. So you'll have that as a tool. So if Crown Point comes with the project or St. John comes with the project, it's not just the, well, you know, this, we think this, or this would be good. We can actually run it in the model and show some results. And also, or if you have competing proposals, different projects, it can help you decide which one is a bigger priority to fund.
Fantastic. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. That was my...
That was my last slide.
Oh, okay. Segue.
Great. Thank you. So any questions with regards to what's going on? My first question is, when are you going to be done?
I anticipate us being done in 30 to 45 days.
Thank you.
And I have a question. How many total acres are we looking at here as this watershed?
Oh, I should know that, but I don't have that in front of me. It's
And then is the city going to, and St. John and the county going to have access to this information, and we'll be able to track as they continue to have bulldozers push over cornfields?
That's correct.
Okay. Anything else? Outstanding. Thank you very much. All right, we're moving right along. Next up, my favorite part, other issues, new business. My second favorite part. Gentlemen, what say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the executive director to advertise for bids for the Griffith Levee Rehabilitation and Drainage Project.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repe.
As I mentioned a little bit before, this is a project going from Klein Avenue to the railroad tracks. The goal here is for the bids to be due to us at our October meeting and for the project to be complete by November 1st of 2023.
Any questions with regards to the motion? We have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Rzynski?
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Hochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Moving right along.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the executive director to advertise for bids on the Katie Marsh Spring Breaker Project.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
A second. Mr. Repe, give us a little bit of insight into that. Anything else?
Just a couple of details. We are going to, so we're going to reduce our costs, hopefully, is buy the actual raking machines ourselves and store it with Griffith so that there is no markup. There is only one version of this raker, so it's not like that you can go prices out to four different ones. We have that, and that's what we're going to do, and this will be done hopefully by June 1st. Because again, supply issues would prevent them to probably install this by that time. But they will be due into our office in September at the September meeting.
Any questions for Mr. Repay about this project? If we'll get Anthony, either none. We have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Rzynski?
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes, ma'am. Moving right along.
Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution 2022-06, adopting the USAC Emergency Flood Protection Handbooks, dated November 14, 2018, for the Gary, Marshalltown, Burr Street, Hammond, Highland, Munster, and Forest Avenue segments of the Little Calumet River Local Flood Protection and Recreation Project, including the addition of the as-builts for the Harrison Avenue Bridge and Burr Street Railroad closure into the Gary Levy System Handbook.
Well said, sir. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repe.
FEMA has asked the City of Gary to have us adopt these as part of their LOMAR application. And so that's what we're doing.
So the entire project?
They want us to recognize informally that we understand our flood control and our flood duties are an emergency.
Really? I'd love to meet this guy or lady.
I don't know who they are either.
Okay. They're behind the screen?
Possible.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
Ready? Love this one.
Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Lipsky.
Yes.
Tom Bezdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Broadbent.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right. Thank you. It passes. Moving right along, statement to the board from the floor, my favorite part. If you'd like to help us, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address for the record. Raise your hand if you're on the Zoom land. Let's go. I see you walking up there.
Why? Didn't want to jump in line. Horizonte, 7142 Forest. Hi.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Nice to see you all. Hi, Anthony. Unfortunately, Commissioner Gudzecki poked the bear. Hi.
Hi.
Forest Avenue tieback. The stop logs that are stored in place, you can read the newspaper through them. Might want to think about looking at them. They are wooden. I would think possibly rubber gaskets in between them might be a help, but you can see daylight in between them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to add, I mean, we've notified Hammond of that, and also the secondary closure to those stock logs are to throw the Visqueen over the top with sandbags. So they need to be changed, but they also, there's a secondary part of that that redoubles the effort, so.
But you said that it wasn't in the flood control plan, I believe was the answer when Commissioner Gudzecki asked.
Well, at least I took his question as it did need to be amended into the manuals. The manuals, I believe, stand by themselves with where it was built. If I misunderstood that question, then I misanswered it. The stop logs are what we're supposed to put in place. They can either be stored there or they can be pulled. Hammond has chosen to store them there. And I agree with what Laurie has said. They are. They're getting warped. But in addition to, when you close it, there has been what we would say, the secondary is to throw the Bisping over the top to really secure both it. But I agree that the boards probably should be replaced.
Their lifespan?
Wood. They're out in the elements. All
right.
You got snow pushed up against them, you got rain, you got all kinds of good stuff. So I don't know they're not stained, they're treated, but they're not. So yeah.
Got it. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
The microphone, please. Thank you.
Is that better?
Yes.
My name is Doreen Carey. I reside at 7304 Indian Boundary in Gary, Indiana. My comment is in relation to the Maya Energy LLC property transfer that was discussed at the special meeting. I was concerned that Mr. Zappia Jr. of Calabria did not appear to know what type of facility Maya Energy LLC was proposing to operate or how environmental permitting works in Indiana. That's sort of just a general observation of that. his presentation. There are currently two separate objections that have been filed with the Indiana Office of Environmental Adjudication to oppose the renewal of the construction and operation air permits for Meyer Energy LLC. These objections were raised for numerous reasons, including the fact that Maya Energy LLC never constructed or operated a facility since receiving their initial permits in 2017 and 2019. The IDEM did not address Maya's failure to meet the conditions of their permit. Another reason was that environmental justice concerns were not considered. And another concern was that trucking emissions and impacts were not considered or incorporated in the consideration of the permit. Also, the property is, of course, across the street from an existing school and a subsurface water supply. So those are some issues that I think the board should consider. I'm not sure if the Calabria proposal is returning. I would hope not, but I don't know if you're able or willing to answer any questions with regard to that at this time.
I'm sorry. You wanted me to, you want to ask questions? You could ask a statement, include questions if you like.
Well, just, I'm wondering if the Calabria land transfer from Maya to Calabria is going to return to the board for consideration.
Unknown at this time, but I can tell you how we're looking at it as it is a contractual situation. So the Maya contract states what it states. The understanding is that another company is purchasing the assets and liabilities of Maya, of which this contract is a part of it. They still have to go through all the processes, the permitting, the state, the city, everybody else for whatever they want to do with that land. None of that's going to happen without the contract being addressed first. So there, it's more of a contractual standpoint from this board as opposed to the facility and what they're planning or not planning to do at that site. They have to meet the contractual obligations of the original agreement.
And I believe at the last meeting that motion was actually prepared that said Calabria was prepared to meet all of the obligations and agreements that were in your contract. But at the same time, they seem to have absolutely no idea what Maya was actually proposing to do. And the presentation they gave had nothing to do, very little to do with what Maya was proposing to do on that property. So I would just say that from the point of view of approving a contract that will very much affect the residents of Gary and on a property and in an area that has been very much opposed by very many residents of Gary, that it would be,
we're very aware.
We'd appreciate if the commission would consider that. We don't want another organization that is not effective or capable of doing what they say they're going to do.
Understood.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Going once, going twice.
All right, closing that favorite part, going back to the board. Anything to add, Mr. Ware?
No, I just want to thank everyone for their attendance this evening. Thank Wessler for the presentation. Look forward to the completion of that study. Wish everyone a safe next couple weeks.
Mr. Whitaker.
Repeating what Mr. Ware, Commissioner Ware said, thank you everyone for attending. And I certainly appreciate the comments regarding the opposition to Meyer Energy. I remain opposed to that from the start, and I remain opposed to it to date. And wish that more folks will continue to come out and be engaged in the process of managing the watershed of the Wakati River. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wyszynski.
Nothing to add.
Thank you, Mr. Gazdecki.
Thank everyone for attending and their interest in what we're doing.
Thank you, Mr. Ochi.
Second and third, just everyone's comments regarding the presentation. And Doreen, thank you for your comments. Well received.
Thank you, Mr. Brondax.
Yeah, I also thank the public for their participation. I also want to thank Dan and the communities for the non-glamorous work of continuing to get the levy certified with respect to the $42,000 payments to the town of Highland. It's just blocking and tackling. I'm an old football guy. If the offensive line doesn't do what they need to do, I don't gain yards. So appreciate the blocking and tackling, Big Dan, and the communities.
Danny, thank you, sir. Mr. Castellanos.
Well, first of all, I want to say I want to congratulate the individuals who are building the pedestrian bridge over on the Hammond side. I got a chance to see the construction and what they're doing over there, and they're doing an excellent job. And hopefully we're looking forward to maybe building more pedestrian bridge all across Lake County. The other thing I want to mention, the fact is that the Gary Up Construction is doing an excellent job as far as building that Artesian Spring. As a matter of fact, I talked to the Department of Natural Resources, and they stated that once that Artesian Spring is built and settled, ready to go, they're going to start putting it into the newsletters. And so it's going to go around not only the state, but also as far as the national news. And also I'd like to compliment Ms. Carrie Doreen for coming out and making her points. I also stand with my colleague, Ron Whitaker. I'm also opposed to Maya development coming to that region for a number of reasons. And I spoke to a number of the people, as well as those who are in office, that they also oppose that also. So we're looking forward to seeing how that, you know, filters out. Meanwhile, I'd like to thank everybody for coming out. Look forward to seeing the next meeting.
Thank you. Mr. Wicklund, anything to add?
Nothing to add.
Mrs. Lambert, either none. Next meeting is always the third Wednesday. Check the website as far as locations. It'll be August 17th based on this calendar. And I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And a second. Discussion, either none. I'm going to buck the train. Voice, vote. Yay.
Yay.
Opposed?
Yay.
All right. Thank you, everybody.